Watcha Gatinya, GNTL, the bit, like Misha, Brendan, and Damian, so I Highland Radio. Welcome everyone to the DL Debate. Thanks so much for tuning in now on Highland Radio or back via the podcast. I'm just getting my faders and my volumes sorted there, back after a wee week off. It's rusty already. Joe Dex is here producing as ever. Another packed show in store this evening. Later in the show, we're going to hear from Donegal legend Declan Bunner on his life in the GAA and, of course, taking on the Fermanagh hot seat for a second season. The first on the show, though, we're going to concentrate on the club championship and particularly the senior club championship we're looking at this week. We'll have in-depth looks across all the championships as the weeks go on. But this evening, we have feedback from all the games. Gary McDead, Slot Neil, coach, former Dr. Maguire, winner, is going to be on shortly talking about a lot of the matches. But first up, we're going to start with the big derby game, Glenswally versus Termon. And myself and Pádraig Cuffery were out there Saturday evening watching the fair. Pádraig joins us now from across the water. How are you, Pádraig?
How you getting on, Brandy? All right?
Doing the best, but man, you're fresh there. You're over turning a few STGs, is it?
Yeah, doing a bit of work in England. So just out, not far from Leeds, Brent. So yeah, still a bit of travelling today. So all good, though.
Yeah, yeah. And just a word, Pádraig, just your take on Saturday evening. It was good championship game. I mean, a lot of people's complaining about the format. I think it's about time we moved on. We need jeopardy in championship games. We don't really have that early on. But of course, this one was going to be different. Two teams, you find it hard to separate. And it was nip and tuck, even though Glenswally took that lead into the second half towards the closing stages. But of course, Termon rallied and come back. But a great championship game all in.
Yeah, absolutely, Brendan. You know, it was a great occasion. You know, there was a huge crowd up in Parknave, Columba, and as I say, you know, there was the promotion of the Irish language and everything. So there was a good family feel to it as well. And
yeah, Pádraig, we've just delayed. You know, we're actually, me and Joe Dex was afraid of that. That's England and it's broadband. I tell you what, people give off about Ireland a wee bit, but I tell you what, our broadband is good. Poor Pádraig is frozen on us there. Pádraig, are you back?
I'm back, can you hear me?
Sorry, that's what we were a bit worried about. We're just saying there, Pádraig, that we can't trust the broadband in the UK the way us Irish boys have it. You know, people complain a lot, but I tell you what, we have decent broadband. I'll give you that. Go ahead there, Pádraig, you just froze.
No, sorry, I was just saying it was such an occasion, Brendan. You know, there was a huge crowd up in Parknave, Columba, and, you know, the mutes during the week that Michael Murphy might play his first championship game for Glenswally in almost a year. So he didn't play last year. So this year was definitely something a lot of people were looking forward to and attracted a huge crowd. But a great spectacle up on the Glen. And, you know, the match lived up to that as well. You know, it was real end to end, you know. And suppose when you're reflecting, from a Glenswally point of view, yes, they came away with a victory, you know, as well. But Termon will take positives out of it as well. Didn't get the result on the night, Brendan, but, you know, there was plenty of positives there. And suppose, you know, I bumped into Christy Toy yesterday evening, and just the fact that Michael Murphy was on the pitch, what it did for that Glenswally side as well to have him there. So it just shows you the impact of him. And then during the game, he was immense. So, you know, got up to the Glen from a Termon point of view with Michael Murphy there, and It was going to be a big task, you know. But look, I suppose from Glenswally's point of view, there was a lot of, as we were saying during the commentary for the Donegal GAA channel, you know, there's a lot of new faces in that Glenswally side, you know, that stepped up. You had young Matthew Enright, who was immense in the corner. You had Owen Scott at centre half, Shane Tinney, you know, all those guys, you know, registered as well on the scoreboard. Five scorers, you know, in the first half, five different scorers. So it just shows you that, you know, yes, Michael Murphy is a prominent figure for them, and he was throughout the game, but he really brought in the younger players, and I would say that's what Darren McGinley's really happy about, Brian.
Yeah, Ryan McFadden had a pretty colossus game there, you know, had a couple of great scores as well, and there was a very different contrast in the styles there, the way Glenswally were keeping ball a bit, working the score by and large, whereas Termon were going route one. It was either a fast-paced attack or a big ball into Bobby inside, causing a lot of problems. Both teams had a lot of goal chances in the game, but that type of conversion wasn't there, but there was a couple of brilliant two-pointers there, particularly from McFadden.
Yeah, Ryan was immense. You know, just looking back on some of the scores that he took, they were clutch scores, Brendan. You know, when Termon needed them, Ryan steps up, and he always has stepped up, you know, and again, he's carrying a niggle last year, and hopefully this year he's back to full form. But on evidence on Saturday night's game. He was fantastic, you know. And I suppose you're right, there was Terman's contrasting compared to Glenn Swally. You know, they switched it up to move Bobby in. They took Ryan out to move Ryan in. They took Bobby out. They went long. And apart from maybe one or two just, you know, handling errors, you know, they were in for goal. So, you know, they're definitely, they showed last year they can unravel a couple of goal opportunities and take them. They just didn't get the rub of the green on Saturday night, you know. But look, again, you're right, Sybil, Glenn Swally were very composed. Terman sat back a little bit, tried to cut them on the break. And, you know, they did create those opportunities, but just didn't convert, you know.
And do you think Jim McGuinness was there, Park, that ball inside the Murphy, that direct ball, kind of looks like, you know, Michael's 1-1 inside there. Like, I know it was club, but even at county, that ability either to win it or to flick it down, he you won't get around him. You know, it's a serious, I suppose, element of Donegal. We're going to change things about next year if Michael was to play.
Well, absolutely. Route 1 football, Michael Murphy inside. Look, Cormac Gallagher's no slouch. Like, you know, he's a formidable player, Cormac. You know, a tight, strong young individual, you know, and wrestling about with Michael. And, you know, like, Route 1 football into Michael, you know, it's going to take a serious player. Now, one time, I know you mentioned it in commentary, there'd normally be a sweeper in beside him there, you know, but not anymore. It's man to man and you have to go at it. And Glenn Swally nearly got a goal, replica of the 2012 All-Ireland final. A long ball came in, Murphy palmed it down. I think it was a young McIntyre got on to the end of it. But, you know, that obviously, when Jim was looking at that, you know, you'd be hoping that that's something he will look at, you know, that long ball in. And if Michael stays about the Donegal panel, of course, for this next year coming, it is definitely something that's food for thought, Brendan, you know. And we've seen what Mayo did, you know, when it was a little bit helter-skelter as well in the All-Ireland final. Is there some learnings to be done from that? But look, Murphy's Murphy, and, you know, it's going to take a serious defender to curtail any threat that he brings.
100%. Listen, me and you's on duty at the weekend here for a bit of streaming, wherever we're busy. I'm not even sure where we're going yet, but... We're partnering up in a deadly duo. You can't get rid of me, Park. I'm sorry.
Well, look forward to that, Brendan. It's always good. And as I say, look, football, as we said, it's brilliant to be back at this era. You know, I know the new. We touched on it there on Saturday night about, you know, a team has never gone. Terman went 5 points down, but they kept clawing their way back in it. They had about 8 minutes on the clock, and I suppose there was an opportunity at the end. It was a bit of a talking point, you know. Was it a free? Was it not a free? But, you know, that could have materialised into a two-pointer. But it just kept that game alive right to the bitter end, you know. So it was exciting.
Yeah, 100%. Berg, well, listen, I don't want to keep you back there. I know you go to bed early every night. You're over in England and on best behaviour.
Absolutely, Brent. Thanks very much.
Hey, Berg, top man. Listen, me and you will be together at the weekend there. We'll bring you one of the big championship games. Thanks as ever for joining us, dude.
Take care.
Top man there. Parik Helfrey joining us. Gary McDade's in studio. Can I just take you up on that wee moment there of that period Parik was talking about? And, you know, I referenced it to Darren McGinley after the game that you're five up by 5 minutes to go. Automatically, you're going to sit and you see that now. You're obviously up by Clonneil. Is that a hard thing to shake yourself out of? Because naturally, everybody thinks, right, slow the clock down, kill the game. And as we know now, if you're 5 points out, let's say the next score's a two-pointer, you're not only back to three, the opposition is thinking, let's go. You know, it's such a swing in the game now, isn't it?
100%, and probably sitting back is no longer, in my opinion, the way to go when you are five up by five to go. You got to get on the ball and control. The word control is nearly almost gone now out of the game. It's very difficult to control the game now compared to what it was, and that's why I guess the game is so exciting now because teams can't control going down the home straight. I mean, if you were five up in the old drills with 5 minutes to go, it was game over, you know. Not now. And then it's trying to keep that ball, is to get on the ball and keep the ball, to me, is get on the front foot. And that's the best way to see out the game and run the clock and when you're in possession, because the opposition can't get it off you. You know, it's trying to keep that. And yourself and Porrig mentioned that there, that Glenn Swally were good at that, at keeping the ball. So they were at the weekend, and listen, having the big man back, like, it's just phenomenal. Like, let's call a spade here. It was the difference, you know.
Was that difficult last year? You know, that thing of, like, was he anywhere near at any point, or was that?
No, he knew. Listen, he let us know right away, you know. Yeah. He just had serious injury and had to get that sorted last year. Yeah. And, He wasn't able, like, for his own health, he wasn't able to play football. Never mind anything else. And listen, we just had to soldier on without him, but it's always making you looking back like we were beat by a score in that prelim against Four Masters last year, and you think, like, he had seven yesterday in your Porriger talk, or sorry, the weekend there, and you're probably talking about what he contributed as bringing the younger players into. Yeah. So you can imagine, you know, last year, like, he's just turned 37, but by God, he's playing like a 17-year-old out there. So he is, you know, he's fresh, he's lean.
His instinctiveness.
He's in good shape. With 11v11, like, and probably with Glenn Swoley now, the way the Glenn, you're talking about the younger players there, Porrig was on about it, like Matthew Enright now coming in and making his championship debut and a really solid one. Like, if opposition try and play a plus one now against Glenn Swoley with Murphy at full forward, that leaves Glenn Swoley a plus one out the field. Yeah. And
you can't do it.
They have huge legs. You know, they'll just run past you. So they will. So it's very, very difficult for the opposition what to do now. Like, it'd be interesting this weekend, Downing's, you know, I'm sure Cookie and the boys were up watching, like, what are they going to do? Like, are they going to try and get a plus one or manufacture a plus one of a tuck or something to see, you know, what are they going to do? Because if they do get a plus one, as I said, to Clint's way, the legs out the field to hurt them in.
There's certain ways at certain times I think you can maybe get someone in the zone.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, he was very much on his own against Terman, the way they were defending. You mentioned there's a few players who come back for Glenn Swoley, and a few lads in America there doing well, and they're due home, and I'm sure they'll be glad to see them.
Aye, listen, suppose the Philadelphia final was on yesterday, and Donegal Philadelphia won the final for the first time since 2018, I think it was. So shout out to the Bully and all the Shimas from Creasley there. He'd be a proud
great
man
crew,
today.
Looked after as well a few months back. Or
yeah. You must maybe you had an influence, maybe you had a pep talk, had you?
I wish.
So there's a huge Donegal connection out there. Shane Malone from Glenties. So he was out, and Mark McDevitt as well, and a lot of Dairymen, Dahi Gilday. And Donal Gallagher was actually captain of the team from her own club, you know. But they're to come back into the team. Porrig Devine missed out of the weekend. Jack Gallagher missed out of the weekend. Jake Kelly missed out of the weekend. So the Glen were down a lot of men, whereas, you know, Terman were probably not as down as many. Young Harkins only back, I think, or still coming back from America. I think Cormac Brady maybe as well in America. So probably not down as many men. Terman probably looked at it as an opportunity for them when the Glen were down. More men, that was a real sense of gaining a victory, but listen, it didn't happen for them on the day.
Listen, and great to get your first home game, I suppose, under your belt. The big thing is won your home games. Glenn Swoley have done that. Turning attention to the champions, the reigning champions, Niamh Connell. You know, I think Niamh Connell kind of toy race at this time of season. If Martin Regan, if you're listening, I know you don't mean it, Martin, but it's as if Niamh Connell come out a wee bit cold and players missing, and they get through games or they find a way, and then they start to build up a wee bit of momentum, and again at the weekend, you know, that looked like no matter what side they had out, they would potentially have enough at home. But you got to admire, you know, Cookie and his team there, the Downings lads. You know, Paddy McAlee, 12 points, like any day.
Just back off the plane.
Listen, exactly. Talk about jet lag there. Mm. Yes, no bar to him. And I suppose in terms of being up against it too, in terms of Niamh Connell having a good first half as well. So, you know, normally over the years, I think teams, the lesser team, might have buckled a small bit, but I mean, I know it's part of the new system and new rules, but fetching ball out round the middle and Big McBride, you know, was a colossus for them.
While, you know, looking back at it, I know Niamh Connell are down a lot of men, and, you know, I checked a couple in Philadelphia, and then today I see the Chicago finals on today, and then the Fimbarote, I believe, is playing in that, and Max Campbell played in the Boston Intermediate final yesterday for Donegal, so he did. They won that, so congratulations to all the Donegal Boston boys out there. As I said, Niall O'Donnell's playing today as well, so that's more Donegal connections in the Chicago final for Pierce's, and of course former Donegal man Sean McEwen and St Union's club man. Sweet. Sean McEwen, so we wish Sean and all the boys the best in that. But I think the Glenties were down maybe 10 or 11, but in fairness, listen to Cookie afterwards, he reckons they were down 4 or 5 as well, and probably Keelan McGrady was Johnny McGrady was a big name missing for them. He played in that Donegal Boston Intermediate final yesterday, so he'll be looking to be on the plane this week back for the Glenswally game, the same as what do you call him, McAwee, Paddy McAwee was back the week before from the Donegal Boston team, so he was. So massive, suppose that Dowling's had Paddy McAwee kicking 12. I mean, go back to your heyday for kicking scores like that there in championship games, you know. Like
it's someday out. You see that thing with the American. I mean, have we got the split season right then, do you think, Gary, around allowing that trip and the lads to experience America and come back then? And sure, they might miss a game or two at home, but.
Yeah, and probably the reason Paddy made it back is because Donegal Boston beat in the semi final last week, so they were. So that's why he was back. If they'd been all the finals, usually the bank holiday weekend in August, and you have the All American finals this weekend coming now, and they're in Boston, so they are this year. So, yes, I think it is better now that because back in the day it was too difficult. You would have missed too much. You'd have missed championship games away in summer. But then I look at the Derry Championship, their championship, and you're on about. Maybe do we need to tweak our championship? It's hard to know. You know, I think it gives teams time to bed in. So it does. If we tweak our championship, the way I would look at it is, you have less time with county players.
Yeah,
you have less time with county players playing for their clubs.
Mm.
We want surely we as Donegal people want county players playing more for clubs. So we don't want to go down like the Derry Championship is the same as the All Ireland Championship where you have that back door. Games, so you're guaranteed at least two games, second loss, and you're gone. And we talked there about Glenties, you know, losing two last year, the first team to lose two games in the group and go on and win the championship. We beat them in the first game, but you know, they're just never gone, you know. But huge result for Dowlings over there, and fair play to Cookie and the boys, and you know, the likes of young Paddy and Shields playing off Cian McBride. I mean, last time I saw Cian McBride was in Croke Park, fetching ball out of the sky there. And like, what to think of what people were probably really ruling Downing's out coming into this, but they didn't have him during the league. They didn't have Paddy during the league. So they didn't, the two of them back still, Johnny McGrady to come back. You know, like, when people saying, they only finished 10th in Division 2, but yeah, but they're perhaps some of the best players in Donegal right now. And I wonder would it be a thing that the Donegal management will. Put a hand out to Cian McBride to see if they could sway him.
Snatch him on. Here's a couple of words from the Downing's manager, Kevin Cookie Gallagher.
Should have seen it out. 3 points up, 4 or 5 minutes to go. Didn't see the penalty. By all means, apparently it was soft. But look at us, a learning curve for our boys. I keep preaching. We have to walk before we can run. We have six or seven 17 or 18 year olds, and look at probably a wee bit of naivety there at the end cost us, but really, really proud of them, Ashton. You know, couldn't have asked any more for them. Told them to leave everything on the field, and that's what they've done in the second half.
They were superb in the second half, coming from 6 points down. What did you say to them at the break to get them to move up through those gears? Because they were very impressive with their approach and the way they played their football in that latter half, Kevin.
Just belief. Yeah. Look, we're preaching this last 3 weeks, you know, I firmly believed we could come over here and beat them, you know, and it was getting that belief into the boys. You know, when we have everybody, that's as strong as we've been all year, Oisín. And when we have everybody, we're half decent, you know, we're half decent. We had to get the grips with their kickouts. AJ and a few others were getting too many handy balls in the first half, you know, but when we got to grips with them, we were kicking it out to Cian, or out in that general direction, he's going to win 8 out of every 10 of them. So then it's a ball game. Mm-hmm. And we have the forwards then, Paddy back and Keelan's there, and we have the forwards to trouble any defence, you know, so it's really well.
Yeah, that's the name of the game. You know, and Martin Regan references as well. Mm-hmm. If you get under the cosh a bit, this momentum thing is massive. You know, a team squeezing up, they're going to force you long. And when you go long, you have someone like Cian out there who is going to, you know, he's going to dominate the air. So all of a sudden, you can't get your hands on the ball. And there's a surge of energy comes through the team. Isn't it amazing now the way that has happened in the game? And you need those big men out around midfield, particularly in those times when you're up against it.
100%. Like 40 metres from the keeper, and if you're top of the arc, the ball's going to end up, you know, you end up catching inside the arc, and then it's a free in after that. So it is to the opposition. It's really difficult to work a short now out with the because teams are really good at pressing up, so they are. And teams put a lot of work into that, so a lot of the kickouts are going long, and it's just 50-50 ones in the sky high, and it's hell for leather, and it's a numbers game after that.
Yeah, and listen, fair play to John O'Malley, kept us cool. You get a penalty, doesn't mean the ball's in the net, so fair play to him. And of course, that thing of Niamh Connell not being defeated, and they'll carry into the next game. Gary, looking across some of the other games there, St Junan's very straightforward win over Eirua.
I was out
at that, and again, I actually felt for Eirua in it, you know, and I know they won't want to hear that there, but listen, it was one way traffic. Listen, Shane O'Donnell running things, and it was only a matter of what scoreline in there. So probably not much learned in that. I suppose different teams are targeting.
Good to see the likes of Brian Mackett here when I saw his name on the team sheet back. You know, probably hasn't seen a lot of game time in the last year or two, and would have been maybe before that involved in a lot. You know, I know he's playing with Donegal Hurling as well, and I would have had him in the under-20s before, and good footballer, you know. It's good to see the likes of him seeing game time again.
Yeah. Niamh Columba up from intermediate. They were beaten by Glenfun, but certainly they give it all in the game. Kieran McGlinnivan, great game for them. Outside of his general play, Clipping only 1-2 as well. But, you know, first day back into senior for a game, for a team there in the parish with that type of history, it's good for them to be back. Gary, how do you think they'll fare? It'll be difficult for them in the championship.
I think it will be hard because you look at Glenn Finder down, Luke McGlynn and Daniel Marley, probably some would argue they're two best players, you know what I mean, because they were playing for Donegal Boston at intermediate final at the weekend. But listen, from the reports I heard from talking to people, it was very much that Glenn Finn played like a senior championship team. You know, when Niamh Columba were coming up from winning the intermediate, and you could see that wee gap from the reports I heard. And Niamh Columba have good forwards, so they have, you know, the likes of Shane Callan and that. And maybe need to try and get those boys more on the ball and get them to be more direct, because I know the likes of Shane Callan that in 1v1 will beat a lot of defenders in Donegal, you know. And listen, they have a tough task home to Gweedore this week, who got a late one against St Michael's, but Glenn Finn will be absolutely delighted, so they'll have 2 points on the board so early.
Listen, Frank McGlynn there still doing his thing. he's some man for one man, isn't he?
Yeah, unbelievable. Right. Listen, Mr. Glenn Finn over there, probably the best way to describe him, and know Frank well. Listen, just a really good fella, honest fella, you know, and puts his heart and soul into the club over there, and has done so much for them over the years, been coaching underage and playing for them, and now player manager, you know, like any wee bit of luck he gets, he deserves it, you know. And over there in Glenfinn, they're so hard to beat, and it definitely had a big say in the end result yesterday.
Yeah, here's a couple of words from their manager, Frank.
Yeah, I suppose both teams probably were always in the game. It was nip and tuck right throughout the first half, and then we opened up a gap maybe 4 to 5 points there in the second half, but Glenn never gave up and kept playing, and they had quality in the forward line. They were always going to create chances and get scores, and you know, we were just glad to get that goal at the end to free up that bit of breathing space.
Yeah, you battled really hard there, I thought, and particularly in the midfield, and you just seemed to keep coming up. When the ball hit the ground, it seemed to be a red and white jersey there.
Yeah, I suppose when push came to shove, you know, Glenn closed back into 2 points there at the end, and you know, fair play to Sean Ward and Stephen Ward, like Jason Morrow out around the middle of the field, you know, they got their hands in primary possession, and you know, in games, you know, when there's only a 2 point gap in it, a couple of minutes to go, that's what it's all about, is just gaining that primary possession, and we were glad to get those couple of kick outs and get the ball down the field to open up the gap again. But overall, you know, I'd say both teams probably, you know, it was nip and tuck, and we probably would have been quite happy with the first half. You know, we got 8 points on the board, and a lot of them were good scores, and you know, consistently were kind of creating chances, and that probably laid the groundwork. Then we played with a bit of a breeze in the second half and clipped over 3 to 4 points at the start of the second half too, so it helped, so it did towards the end.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, great stuff. Well done, Frank McGlynn there. Opening day victory for the men from Glen Finn at home. Gary, the Kilcare victory over Ardrad, probably the amount that was in it. We're never too sure what Ardrad is going to come up with, but Kilcare too, a wee bit of an enigma. You know, you think on their day they potentially could beat a lot of teams, but we're never exactly too sure. But it was a very promising victory for them, and central to let Ryan McHugh playmaking, such a great man to be on the ball, everything that he brings to the game.
Yeah, and without probably their talisman, Paddy McBurdy, was almost like us in the Glen last year without Murphy. And listen, by all reports, he mightn't kick a ball this year for Kilcare because of injury. And then Mark McHugh, when he coming off the bench as well, I think in the last minute, so it was. So, you know, they've plenty of strength and depth there. So they have, I know that Matty McLean missing as well, but he's expected to be back very soon. But listen, probably there was Ardrad the breeze in the first half and didn't capitalise on it, you know, sat in a defensive shell, and you know, I was listening to Brian Kilcoyne that in the radio, and they couldn't probably understand it why they were sitting in and they had the breeze.
Is that the exact start of the championship, right? Gary, you don't want.
Yeah.
Right? You know, you're at home, you've got a breeze, right? And if I was down there supporting that team, I'd say, hey, boys, hold on a second. Whatever you do, you have a goal. Do you know what I mean, Gary? We've got to have a goal, right?
From what I heard, I think the crowd did let them know that, you know? Right.
Good football people now. Yeah,
listen, because I heard the likes of Ryan McHugh was able to stand solo in the ball around the middle, you know, when they had the breeze. Yes. So Kilcar, they'd be delighted with that. So they were, and probably when they went behind in Ardra as well, they still sat in the shell. They didn't really come out, but maybe they were looking at it. I'm trying to see. I mean, maybe they were looking at it. Listen, we're not maybe going to get anything out of this game, but we've got to make sure that we don't get absolutely hammered here, and the score difference could affect us later on. Maybe four games, if we end up avoiding the bottom four again. I would say, I was actually thinking this because I was driving home on my way, and I was listening to the two, Oisin and Brendan, on the radio. So I was driving home from Slantneil, and I was listening to the radio, and I was thinking, listen to the boys about them sitting in and that, and I was like, that's what they're doing. They're probably thinking that far ahead, that listen, come here, we've got to make sure our score difference doesn't get too much of a hammer in here today.
Yeah. Listen, great one for Dunlow as well. Bit surprised by the scoreline in there. Oisin Bonner having a fine game, big one over McCool's. Four Masters. I was thinking the headline could have been Killy Beggs inspired by Coleman beat Four Masters. All the rumours were flying everywhere. Gary, is this, what do you think of this? Is this, I mean, I know that Coleman has trained him before when he's been home and that, but this was a very strong rumour this time coming. I know John Jazz there threw it up, and the Irish media was, with Aisham White, was gobbling it all up. Now, I was chatting to Declan Bonner this morning. He was saying, listen, there was talk now of registration wasn't through in time. I thought that, it was just another rumour, but sounds like, I don't know, maybe some story, right?
Yeah, but unreal. Listen, suppose you talked there about Dunlow and fair play to them. You know, what a result. No one probably saw it as being as one sided as that, especially when people wondering about Oisin Gallen, but he played and had 6 points, so he did. And a huge result for Dunlow to be so convincing in that manner. And suppose then as well, McCool's are going to be difficult. Their union's next, you know. That's really difficult. They're going to pick themselves up this week. And I'm back to the Killy Beggs thing. It was interesting as well that Killy Beggs' management, Pádraig Bourne, that didn't talk to the media afterwards. You know, they probably knew that the heat was going to be on them. Yeah. So you're trying to put two and two together here, and you're wondering, did they not want to talk to them because they're hiding something, you know, then they didn't want to...
It would be unbelievable, you know, because It might be a good lift for Killy Beggs too. I mean, he probably needed a wee bit after that result, you know. Inspire the young guys.
And the way they were playing the first half, you know.
That's right, they had a great start.
I was following it online at the time, and when I landed in Derry, all the talk in Derry when I landed was, I hear Jimmy Coleman's playing the for Killy Beggs. Like, it spread right up there when I landed in Derry.
I was getting texts around the country. Gary, we're just down the last couple of minutes. Just want to mention Ghidorah, of course, Ron McNeilis, and he pointed out to the amount of games they lost by a point and a couple of points. So he'll take that 1 point victory over St Michael's. Very tight game again. Darrell Boyle had a great game. People to come back as well. And just that opening one at home is very important.
Yeah, Adam McGiver played midfield for Donegal Philadelphia at the weekend. So he'll be coming back for them. Huge player to get back for them. But no, massive. And probably the way they won it behind, I think it was 5 down with 5 to go. So it was. And the way that they came back at the end with a 2-pointer. I think Dara might have nailed that. But from listening from all reports I'm hearing, I think Dara's just leading Ghidorah unbelievably down there, so he is, and he probably did it yesterday again. He's the captain and leading it out by example yesterday again on the pitch. And listen, St Michael's will be, they're battle hardened, they're probably the most experienced anyone in the championship in terms of an age profile, but listen, there are a lot of good players there.
Yeah, a lot of good players. Listen folks, we'll be back right after this break. Welcome back to the DL Debate, folks. Just coming towards the last segment of the show. I just want to thank Gary McDade for coming up and sharing his thoughts and, of course, educating us as ever. Slotneil coach Gary, good luck in the Derry Championship. Me and you will be talking as the season goes on. We're going to finish up now with an interview from Declan Bonner, which I caught earlier today. Stay tuned. Joe Dex is here producing. I'll speak to you all next week. Declan Bonner, welcome to the DL Debate.
Thanks, Bren. Nice to
thanks.
Be on.
Thanks so much for calling. You're up in the studio here, mate. Great to see you as ever. Declan, where to start with you? You know, I want to talk to you obviously about Fermanagh, your current job, and about the state of play of football at the minute. But just before we get into it, I was just thinking back, way back to the first time me and you spoke in 1987. You obviously gave me your debut. you just recently retired. You took the hot seat in Donegal straight away. And since then, Dyke, I'm just looking back. I mean, it's unbelievable between obviously coaching minors and under 20 teams, two spells with Donegal, you know, likes of Dunlow, Gidore. You obviously took Aaron Giel's then back to back championships. You've been chairman. I know there's loads more in there. I know you're from Annabas, Dyke. It's just in your veins, this constant tie-in with whether GAA, whether it be playing or management.
Yeah, exactly. And I suppose when I stopped playing in 97, I think it was on my 32nd birthday, I took on the senior job in Donegal. And I think, Bren, you might have kicked maybe 12 points in the county final, so I had no option but to bring you into the county setup, I think, on that occasion. But,
well, it was 14, but I'll give it that.
Yeah. Oh, was it? Oh, sorry, Bren. Missed one or two, maybe. I think I'm a minute left before
I got to cling on to it all day like that.
Exactly. And I've been involved probably ever since between managing, went back playing. And yeah, it's in the blood, and it's not easy to get away from it. But as long as you're enjoying it and as long as the passion is there for it, then yeah.
Yeah, definitely. And this latest chapter was something that came about, I suppose, that you weren't expecting. I know from talking to you that you kind of felt I might have a wee break here to myself, and I'm not sure maybe what's next. But of course, Aaron Giel's had other ideas. They came down, headhunted you, and gave you their plan, a team that was knocking on the door of the championship, but couldn't get there, and you came in and amazingly back to back. I mean, like, even that trip itself must have been something so new for you, I suppose, stepping out of the county, going into manage, but the success you had there too, and the memories.
Yeah, no, exactly. And I suppose the fact that when I stepped away after 5 years in 2022, I was still chairman of the club, and at the time we couldn't find a manager for Narossa, and I ended up taking on that job in 2023. And ultimately, I decided then I needed to get a break.
I won the championship.
Yeah, in 2023. And then I went into, Aaron Giel's, made the call, and listen, probably the fact that I was out to the county, kind of maybe, yeah, I said it's a different challenge, and went in there and went there for 2 years, 2 brilliant years, to be quite honest, and ultimately went back to back in championship. And then, you know, we were going to step away after the second year anyway, so Paul Brennan's been with me on that journey, and Fermanagh had come up, and it was challenging, no doubt about it, the early part of the season, but the season progressed reasonably well, and finished up there about maybe 5-6 weeks ago.
And just on the change in nature from management that you've seen there, you know, because you've spanned such a long time, I can't think of anybody out there, like, there's very few anyway that with a county manager so young and then came back to it and now still in it. You've put in some time. The change in nature of that, like, around the commitment, we hear a lot of it, but just the rise of that, it doesn't seem to be levelling out at all. It just seems like every year there's more commitment, more time and more aspects to management and to playing in terms of the overall commitment.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt. It is huge. The commitment levels. Like, and it's even supposed to, when I went back in, or when I started out first back in 1997, it was still a huge task, a huge job, because, you know, I was managing players that I had played with, won All Irelands with, some players were older than me. And, but I'll tell you, it was probably a really good learning experience, to be quite honest, to be thrown in the deep end and done those 3 years. And, and every day is a learning day, to be quite honest. The game is definitely, the whole thing has moved on in terms of, you know, the connection with players now, like, you know, the players' different demands, to be quite honest. Nothing really changed in terms of, you can nearly sense when it's a successful group there that, you know, everyone's on the same page, trying to get those guys all on the same page, and not just the players, but the management team, the county board, stuff like that. They're all pushing together. It makes that job a lot easier, to be quite honest. And, as we've seen with Mayo then this year, when you do get a bit of momentum going, anything is possible. And, as I said, football at the minute is in a really good place. You know, the rule changes have made a massive difference, and that's been very exciting, to be quite honest.
Yeah. And then, obviously, it was a tough start to you in terms of you lost a couple of players in the morning, obviously the Cullen lads and that in there. Listen, the divisions are so tight. You know, and I know we ended up getting relegated, but you obviously turned it around at a great run in the championship. But I was looking at it next year, like, obviously Limerick goes down with yourself. You know, you've obviously Wicklow, the Tailteann winners in there, who are heading for Sam Maguire. You know, you've Antrim in there, always capable of beating a lot of teams. Like, you know, London were very unlucky, actually. In many ways, they could have, for the first time ever, maybe went up a division. And they're obviously pushing hard in recruitment, as they say over there, Dick, you know. You know, even Leitrim themselves, Dick, mm-hmm. you see, are plucky. So, you know, you're in, people don't realise, because I thought with Fermanagh, they obviously have that ability at times to take out a big team. But you'll be looking around you there and that's a tight division you're going into too, Dick. Like, there's no way of saying this, and people will be expecting Fermanagh to go up, but that's a dogfight.
Absolute. And, you know, we actually met with the players. We'd done our debriefing there maybe 2 or 3 weeks after the season finished. And, you know, the challenge is now, that's where we're starting out from. But, and as you quite rightly say there, it is a dogfight down there. You're playing in the heights of Wunter. It's, you know, all these teams are well prepared now. All inter-county teams are well prepared. And, so it is a challenge, but, it's one we've got to take on and, meet head on. But listen, again, yeah, we don't want to be down there, naturally enough. You want to be up through the divisions. That's a challenge for us. And, you know, next season's a big year, to be quite honest. And, you know, it's one of the reasons I've gone back in again. And, yeah, it's just for another year.
Are you just taking it year by year?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, I think so. I think, and, a lot of things can change within that year. And, but, you know, I feel within the group, there's a lot of energy there. There's a lot of good young lads coming through that we've introduced this year. And, you know, there's a very strong, focused, committed backroom team there too, which, yeah, makes my job easier, you know.
And how did it feel like? Because I know sometimes when, you know, you're obviously getting, it was a tough start to it, but see when it turns in, Nick, and as you said, you were just saying momentum there. You started to get that bit of momentum. You're all so close to making a final then, you know, which would have been a huge swing in terms of the year. But it's great to get that kind of energy from the group where they buy into what you're saying, because it always takes a while to bed that in.
Yeah, it does, Brent. And, you know, even, yeah, results weren't going our way. I think the first league match we had was against Wexford, and Wexford beat us and Brewster. You know, at no stage during that period was there, you know, anyone down in tools. I mean, I was still looking forward to going on the train on the Tuesday night. And as I said, it was in the depths of winter. And, but yeah, there was never a stage, you know, we knew that we would turn the corner. Yeah, naturally enough, we were disappointed that we didn't stay in Division 3. We went up to Newry, played down in a league game, and down ultimately beat us by, I think, 3 points on the night. But we actually played really well on the night, yeah. Probably deserved to get
some. You see the signs?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And, you know, we finished out the league, and we got, which already was planned, we had a training camp in Villamur. In fact, the Donegal all boys were coming out the gate, we were coming in the gate. And yeah, so we had 4 days over there, and that was massive. You know, we were getting ready to play. We watched Armagh Tyrone over there, and we knew then it was our man in the first round of the championship. And, you know, we felt preparations were really, really good. And even, yeah, the first half didn't go our way in terms of the scoreboard, which is the most important thing. But when we looked at it and looked at the stats and looked at all the analysis coming back on it, we wouldn't match Armagh many, many areas. Only, at least I think we had 20 shots on goal in that first half. Armagh had 20. They end up kicking, I think, 115. We end up with 5 points. Yeah. We end up with 9 wide, 6 into the keeper's hand. All of the things that you don't want to be doing against any team, let alone Armagh in a first round of the championship. But we pushed on, and the game was over. Second half, the lads really played extremely well. We kicked some brilliant scores. We ended up, I think, 117 in that second half. And then we're in the Tailteann Cup. And yeah, a couple of really good performances there, with Wexford, who we played, who beat us in the league, and we beat Wexford by, I think, 5-6 points. We played Sligo and we beat them again really well. They beat us in the league earlier on. And the match against Down in Crow Park, yeah, it was a match we felt we should have won. We didn't start particularly well. We gave ourselves a fair bit to do, but, you know, going in, down the straight, we levelled out with about 6-7 minutes to go. And we had opportunities, but ultimately Down kicked the winner, and we ended up losing the match by a point.
Yeah. But a lot of positives in there. Just around, you mentioned obviously Paul and me there, Emlyn Mulligan, where did that come from? I know Emlyn well, he's a great lad. How did he fit into the setup this year?
So Emlyn had come in as a forwards coach, and he's still playing. He's still playing at centre half forward for St Mary's, and forward thinking coach, and himself and Paul would have been fairly friendly. They would have grown up back.
Right, that's right. Of course, they love close.
Yeah, and so now he's been very, very good. And we have Nevin O'Donnell, he was in goals for Cavan. He's actually in goals for Moy Cullen at the minute. He's down in Galway for a period, but he was a goalkeeping coach. And we had Eddie McCarron from Tyrone, who's living in Enniskillen, and he was coaching in Enniskillen for a couple of years, so he came in as their defensive coach. But yeah, no, really good lads, and they're young and they're enthusiastic, and again, they're learning no more than, you know, they're just probably getting used to the way I manage and probably the players the same. And that was probably the part at the start, probably trying to tie that all together. And it was only just knitting together. It's still not the finished article by any manner of means, but we were getting there bit by bit, you know. Mm.
And they see this, obviously the split season now, because you were the coach at a time when there was much more kind of year round stuff. How does that feel then when the season's ended? I mean, it's such a big break. I know that you'll come back and do training and late end of the year, but how does that bit of a break, does that kind of make the job more appealing, that you probably have a wee bit more time, family time, well, your own time? Or is
I don't know about that, because in the last couple of weeks we still had no one looking after Narossa, so I'm back in working with the lads, so it's been three nights a week, and I was back on the sideline for the championship, yeah, but on Saturday night, so there's no break, but it's still there, and but at the same time you're keeping an eye definitely in touch with the lads and Fermanagh, and
I mean, you go up to club championship games, and
the club championship starts now in the next couple of weeks. The league fight, well, it's down to the last league games now this week, and then the championship starts in a fortnight's time, so yeah, we will be getting matches in, but just keeping in touch with those guys and regularly, it's important also. And but as I say, there is a good young bunch of players there that's enthusiastic and that really want to push on, and again that makes the job easier, you know.
Yeah. I've seen Jim at a couple of games at the weekend there too. Do you think that you know, when you go to games again, is there anybody like players, you're going to know what players is available now. Is it a matter of you just kind of having a look at somebody? Do you think there's something? Because I would find there in a club scenario, you probably want to take that guy in and test him out your own way in the county setup before you would kind of have a
yeah. What we done last year at one stage. I think we maybe end up with 40 odd players coming in, and it's no point just looking at a match and saying we bring this guy in. You need to see him over a period and bring him in 5-6 weeks training to see how to respond to that. There, some lads don't. Some lads will get through it, and then ultimately are they good enough to compete at that level? And but that's the challenge. But you know, even at this stage, I've identified maybe 3 or 4 more younger lads that'll probably fit into the group that, you know, have done well at 20 level and are now ready for that step up. So yeah, it's continuous, even though it's called a split season. It's definitely continuous. It goes on for 12 months.
Yeah, you know. I think just on say, our own county here, what did you make of our season? Because it was very surprising, one of many ways, from what we were. Everybody's looking, obviously, to get back to where we were the season before and even the season before that. But Donegal's season seemed to hit the heights early and we kind of tailed off then.
Yeah, it's a difficult one, to be quite honest, because at stages early on in the season, it looked like we were unbeatable, to be quite honest. I just really fancied our chances, you know, none more so than that day in the league final against Kerry, like when we just absolutely blew them apart.
Yeah.
Like to be leading in a National League final in Croke Park against Kerry by 20 odd points at one stage.
Is this
really happening?
Yeah.
And ultimately, you know, what happened after that is it's difficult, to be quite honest. And it's probably trying to keep, you know, momentum's one thing, but it's trying to keep that freshness and probably lads peaking at the right time. And it's a difficult one, to be quite honest. Mm. Some of those lads have come back, some have taken a break now, some are back in, majority will be back in playing for their clubs. Yeah, some lads are still in America, and it'll be a while before they probably get that whole group back together. And I'm sure when they sit down and look at how the season went, they will be, they'll have the strength finances, you know, and see where they can move in next season. I still believe we're up there, one of the top 2 or 3 teams, absolutely. A really good squad of players there. And I think, you know, when we're at it, and if we get all those timings right, then we're as good as anyone.
Mm. Did that condensed season kind of cause that? And like, where you see, seeing you come back, obviously you do like a pre-season type training, you know, coming into obviously because the league starts. But then in between that and really the league and the championship, there's not really a lot of time in there to do what you do, heavy training. So does the heavy training come then? And then after that, you got to just keep people sharp and keep people right and obviously
very good, yeah, exactly. Between, because if you look at the league, I mean, I'm sure the lads worked really hard last season, pre-season, which is pre-season, and once you go into league games, it's kind of you're getting lads really just ready and topped up during the week to go again the following week. And
but you want them at a certain maybe level, do you?
You do.
You know, obviously to lift it in, like it kind of felt, I suppose, come back to the Donegal thing, come back to maybe that league. Remember that we were actually going very fast and high, and then it's as if then that energy couldn't be sustained. Energy. You know,
and you suppose if maybe in a way too, when you were going that well in the league and you finished the league on such a high, when you do go back in then and you're analysing and you're looking at, maybe you're not looking at where the frailties are. You're not maybe yeah, identifying them, yeah, because
it's like the tough defeat that you think you can learn a lot.
You learn a lot more, that's for sure, from a defeat.
I think Kerry actually learned a lot from that league final in terms of the way we went about them, you know, and they sharpened up their game, their kick-out strategy and all that. So they learned lot from that.
And listen, to call a spade, at no stage of the season did you ever think Mayo were going to win in All Ireland.
Yeah, true, of course. All of a sudden,
you know, they come on a run, and even going into the final, it absolutely totally written off, including myself, to be quite honest. I could not see it. And ultimately, yeah, they didn't start well in that final, but, you know, they got themselves together. And the way and the chaotic nature of the way the game has gone definitely suits Mayo. Mayo were always, that was their game down through the years. It was on those chaotic moments that they really thrived on, and definitely it was massive, you know.
Yeah, yeah. That control, I think, Dick, as you're talking about there, is completely gone. You know, even in the Glenswilly game the last night we were out doing Termin, it was 5 minutes to go, and Glenswilly, the game was nip and tuck, but Glenswilly went five up, and Dick, I was chatting to Darren after the match about this, that they delayed a kick out then. And they were kind of like, as a lot of teams would do, this is natural, kind of, we'll see it out, we'll control the game. And I thought to myself, straight away, I thought to myself, right, you're inviting, here it comes, you know, and there was a two-pointer, straight away, bang, and then the pressure's all back in them, and even though you're leading, you just get a feeling where the other team's coming after you. It's very hard to deal with that, you know, as a manager, to say, keep playing, keep stepping up, because if you get a bit of a lead, suddenly you kick them a couple of passes back, don't you?
And it is, that's the nature of the game. And while most managers would love that structural end of it, and you still have to have your structure around it, it's become a lot more chaotic now. And it's coping in those moments. Even at junior level on Saturday night, we were, I think, 4 or 5 points down to one stage in the second half. And within 5 minutes, I think we kicked 3 two-pointers, put us right back in the mix. And, you know, those scores now are massive. If you look at the All-Ireland final, you had Jack Carney, I think it might have been 7 down or 6, 7 down at that stage. And he kicks a brilliant two-pointer. Mm. And it lifts everyone. And, you know, Mayo had their 16th man in the crowd that day also, which is absolutely massive. Yeah. Energy that you get from that there is huge. Yeah. And but no, it's made the game more exciting. There's no doubt about it, because for a stage there, and my last spell back in there, when you had, you know, teams were setting up, there was 15 behind the ball, it was really very structured, very defensive at times. Yeah, naturally enough, you were looking at hitting teams on the counter-attack. But ultimately, it's changed for the good, to be quite honest, over the last couple of years, and it's made it a really fascinating championship this year, to be quite honest. You know.
Yeah, perfect. We'll see if Donegal and Darmazzi's word, if they go away with Mayo next year, it'll be interesting to see. But for now, Dick, and listen, always great to chat to you. I want to wish you all the best. We'll obviously be rooting for Fermanagh in the background here, and hope you do well next season, and get up that big day in Croke Park.
Okay, good man, Brent. Thank you.
Thanks, Dick.